Okay. Whew, all right. Hi, everybody. So wonderful to see all of you. Some of you are veterans and have met each other. Some of you have frolicked on beaches in Mexico together. Some of you are new. Some of you are, yeah, we've got Aishwarya's new, Elizabeth's. Yay. Okay, cool. So we're going to do an introduction round so that everybody knows who everybody is here in a moment. But before I dive into things officially, so thank you all for heeding the call to be here. Excuse me, I want to first and foremost acknowledge the challenges and the difficulties that are happening on an individual level, on a community level, on a nationwide level, on a global level. There's a fucking lot going on right now, and it's affecting all of us in a lot of different ways. And it can be very scary and very vulnerable to even think about participating in something where we are having a conversation around racial justice and around the themes that pertain to that and the things that have contributed to it. So I want to acknowledge each and every one of you for being here, for showing up, for being willing to have this conversation, for being willing to hear others' perspectives and to share your perspective if you feel so called. And I truly believe, and we'll get into this more as we progress here, I truly believe that the act of coming together and acknowledging and discussing is such an important part of all of this, and that it doesn't happen enough. And I think that that's part of the problem, is that we don't have these conversations. We don't know how to, or we feel awkward. So tonight is it's a safe container. It's a safe space for all of us to drop in, as we do on all of these calls. It's non-judgmental. It is a place where you can feel safe feeling awkward and feel safe saying whatever is alive for you. And we are really awesome at supporting each other. We're really awesome at, if requested, we're really awesome at giving feedback. We're also really great at just listening. So for those of you who are new or have only been here a couple of times, I want you to know that this is a wonderful, safe, compassionate place to be. And we talk about some super stretchy stuff. So there's a very high likelihood that things are going to feel uncomfortable, emotional, all kinds of stuff. And that's okay. And we welcome it. We welcome the messiness. We welcome the stretchiness. We welcome all the things, because this is what's needed, and this is what's necessary, and this is life, and this is where we are. So just a couple of notes. I don't usually do this at the beginning of a call, but tonight I feel called to establish a bit of a code of conduct, even though this may be, hopefully, is pretty straightforward and obvious. But there are some things that I want to vocalize so that everybody's on the same page and we all know that each other know what the parameters are here. So yes, this is a space for open conversation. It's a space for asking questions. It's a space for not knowing the answers. It's a space for asking things that might sound dumb to us, right? It might be a triggering environment in some ways if you hear somebody share something that isn't necessarily aligned with you, or maybe like sounds ridiculous or what have you. So triggers may happen, and I ask that everybody is accountable and responsible and mindful of each other, that everybody respects each other's humanity. And also, though, that doesn't mean censorship. So say what you need to say, feel how you need to feel. You don't need to censor yourself necessarily, but please do be responsible and accountable about what you're bringing into the environment. And I will be very clear that this is a no hate, no intolerance zone. So it's very, very, very pro racial justice, very, very, very pro human rights, equality, and all things, all beings thriving. So please raise your hand if you are in for that. Oh, also totally confidential environment as well. So hands up just to see a visual. Sylvia, Alicia, you guys good with the code of ethics for this conversation? Cool. You took yourself off mute. So Sylvia, is that you? Okay, I can't hear you. Feel free to post in the chat. But if you're still on the call, I'm going to read it as you are in for the convo. Cool. Thank you all so much. All right, so I'm going to facilitate just a couple of things here at the front end, and then I'm going to hand the conversation over to Kim. She's with us until 15 after. Kim, is that right? Okay, cool. So I'm going to facilitate a couple of short activities, and I'll tell you what they are and why we're doing it. And then Kim's just going to share a couple of things. And then I'm going to open the conversation. This isn't like the rest of our calls where like I'm teaching or we're doing like group activity. I have a couple of prompts for us if it will be helpful for the conversation to like kind of guide and open things up. I've come prepared with a couple of things that I think will be really helpful, but it's also super organic and I want everybody to feel like they have an equal voice and that this is a constructive environment. So, all right, let's start with introductions. We'll be quick about this. Oh, hi, Sylvia. Now I can see you. Hi. Let's start with introductions. We'll keep this round relatively quick, so a minute per person. And we'll do name, location, and then how stretchy is this conversation for you on a 1 to 10? So 1 is like, not at all. Like, it's totally my space. 10 is like, this is excruciatingly uncomfortable. Like talking about this stuff, being in conversation about these themes is really, really stretchy. And again, no judgment at all. I'm just wanting to tune into where everybody's at in terms of their relationship to this kind of conversation. So name, location, and how stretchy on a 1 to 10. So I'll go first. I'm Fawn and I'm in Jalapa, Mexico. And this conversation, I would say with all of you, it's probably a 7, 6 or a 7. It's pretty stretchy for me. Yeah, just going to own it. I'll pass the baton over to Maura.
Ladies, Maura McGinnis, located currently in Milford, Connecticut. And it's actually 0 stretchy with all of you. It's 10 stretchy with the rest of the world.
Thank you, Maura. Yeah. Ashley, hello.
Hey, guys. I'm Ashley. I am in Los Angeles. And I think with you guys, it's on the lower end. It's probably a 4 or 5. Like more that gets a little bit higher, a 7 with the rest of the world, only because I just feel like I need to educate myself a lot more to be able to speak what I feel eloquently and get it out there. So,
yeah, thank you. For those of you who are new, we do this thing in these calls where if you relate with something that somebody said, we do wiggly fingers so that we're not like interrupting their flow, but to show that, oh my gosh, yeah, that me too. And then if it's like totally me too, like, well, you know, like you're speaking my language, we do double hands. Yeah, exactly. So what Ashley just spoke to, like feeling like she wants to educate herself more. That's why I was doing this. I wasn't trying to be a weirdo. thanks, Ash. How about you, Kim?
I am Kim and I'm in Youngstown, Ohio. And this is, I don't know, like a 5 or 6 for me. And I think it's consistent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. Uh-huh. How about you, Amy? Oh, where'd you go? There you go.
Hi, I'm Amy. I'm right outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the suburbs. And I would say I'm going to have to go with like Maura and Ashley too. Definitely on this call, not super stretchy. Probably about like a 3 or 4. And outside of this group, probably more like a 7 or 8.
Thank you.
For sure.
Yeah, thank you. Elizabeth, welcome. Yay. Elizabeth's a dear friend of mine. She's in one of my masterminds, and I was really excited to invite her into the tribe this evening. So hi.
Welcome. Hi, I'm Elizabeth. I'm in Las Vegas, and this is about a 5 for me. So since I've not met any of you before, it's about the same as having it in public, yeah. But it's nice to meet everybody. Thank you, Fawn.
Yeah, appreciate thanks it. For being here. Yeah. And Heidi, hi.
Hello, I'm Heidi. I'm out by Cleveland, Ohio. And I agree with Amy. It's more like the lower end because I know some of you guys, or at least I've met you. And then pretty much on the higher end in public.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for speaking to that. And I'll just do a quick soundbite here. Heidi and a friend of hers before the recent events went down were either in conversation about or going to launch a podcast speaking to these exact issues. So Heidi, the fact that you feel that stretchy about these things and you're willing to do a podcast about it is badass. So I just want to acknowledge that. Thank you. Hi, Sylvia.
Hey, yeah. Sorry, I'm having some audio and difficulties this evening, so sorry about that. But hi, I'm Sylvia in Raleigh, and I would definitely say this is a pretty stretchy conversation for me. I haven't started having a conversation this before we moved to North Carolina. But I started to have these conversations recently. So this will be really good, and I'm sure I'll learn a lot too from this.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. And let's see, I'll go to Aishwarya. Hi. Yay. I've been trying to get her on a call for a long time. Thank you for being here.
No worries. Thanks for having me. Mm-hmm. Hi everyone. My name is Aishwarya and I am in Brooklyn, New York. And as I'm speaking, there's actually protests outside my windows. So it's a timely topic indeed. Yeah. Wow. I would say this is probably a 5, probably consistent with this group and otherwise. So, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for being here. And Alicia, hi. Thanks for being here.
Hello. Yeah, my name is Alicia Riley. I live in Williamsburg, Virginia, and this is probably a 6 or 7 for me.
Thank you. Beautiful. All right, ladies, thank you so much for introducing yourselves and sharing the stretch factor, the uncomfortable factor. On the one hand, I'm very, very grateful that several of you who have been on these calls before spoke to feeling more comfortable here, having this conversation in this space that translates a lot to me about the quality of the space for you, so that and the safety, so that means a lot. And then I also appreciate the differentiation, like, and the acknowledgement, the awareness around the stretch factor for the, like, everywhere else, like what the stretch feels like. And later in this call, if it's of service to the group, I want to talk about awareness of our felt experience and awareness of our experience around these topics and themes, because what can happen, and if I'm being honest with myself, I've experienced, is that the stretch factor and the discomfort can become a reason that we don't talk about it. It can become a reason that we feel weird about bringing it up, or we're going to say the wrong thing, or whatever the things are, right? And we'll discuss that, I'm sure, and share in a bit here. But that stretch factor, the fact that you're feeling it right now and you're able to tune into how it feels externally and you're still present to have the conversation is a great starting place for here on out in any capacity, still feeling really stretchy and weird and being willing to have the conversation anyway, right? So sometimes we talk about the book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And I think in this case, it's feel the stretchiness, feel whatever the feels are, and do it anyway. So yeah, we can't let that stop us. So speaking of feelings, I'm going to do a quick popcorn activity here for 3 or 4 minutes. So we are in this world, we are in this experience, and we're in these local, well, national, global themes as individuals and together, right? So we have our individual selves that we are responsible for, that we're accountable for. We get to be the ones that show up in ways that contribute to the world that we want to live in. So there's an individual component to any kind of social change, any kind of global change, any kind of change. It starts at the individual level, right? And then there's this element of togetherness. So there's 10 of us on a call right now. That's fucking powerful. Like 10 human beings together in one place virtually, connecting around these themes, connecting about anything. That is so powerful. So I want to remind all of us that this is about us and it's about us, right? And if we're not in tune with ourselves and we're not really aware of how our experiences or what our felt experience is around these themes or these times, then we'll automate to default. We'll just kind of automate to whatever it is that we're used to doing. And that's how indifference happens. That's how ignorance happens. That's how comfortability happens. And that's how shit gets out of control. And this isn't about pointing blame. It's about personal awareness and personal accountability. So I want to focus for a moment. We're going to do a quick activity that hopefully will illustrate that yes, we're individuals, but also we are so in this together. And this is, it's a very straightforward activity that will help us to tune into our feelings. So first of all, again, to show, if I ask something and you resonate with it, go ahead and just hold your hand up. If you hear something and you really resonate with it, you can do like with wiggly fingers. And if you're like, oh my God, yeah, then it's that. So who's been feeling just a lot of feelings lately in the last couple of weeks? Just like a ton of emotions or feelings, or am I frozen? I might be frozen. Uh-oh. Ladies?
Oh, it's just the host now.
I'm back. Oh my God. How long was I talking to myself?
Well, you definitely stopped for a breath. Like you were gonna, like you were really doing a fun, like, how am I going to put this?
And then you were going to,
it was before the feelings part.
Yes.
Feelings. Okay. So we're going to talk about feelings. I'm going to do a quick activity to show. Did you guys hear anything about like individual and togetherness? Was that in there anywhere? Individuals? This is about us as individuals and us as a community?
Yeah. Yeah, we got that.
Paying attention. I'm getting like this.
right. We got it. All together and individuals.
Okay, so, all right, let's do a quick exercise. It's about feelings. It's going to hopefully illustrate that we are individuals, but we are all in this together. Okay, show of hands, who has been feeling a lot of feelings lately in the last couple of weeks? Just like a barrage, like overwhelm, intensity, feelings you don't usually feel. Okay, yeah, thank you. All right, hands down. So I'm going to kind of call out some feelings or some emotions. And if it resonates with you, then go ahead and raise your hand. And if not, that's totally cool too. No judgment once again. All right. Who has been, I'm going to talk about the emotion of anger. And I'm looking at the Byron Katie emotions inventory. If anyone's interested, I can send it to you. So let's talk about the emotion of anger. Who's been feeling some form of angry in the last couple of weeks? Whether it's rage or whether it's frustration or, let me look at the other words here, infuriated, mad. Okay. All right, hands down. Who's been feeling, let's talk about depressed here. So who's been feeling disappointed or discouraged or diminished, maybe even powerless, maybe even disheartened, disappointed? Yeah. Yeah, okay. Hands down. Who's been feeling, yeah, this resonates with me. Who's been feeling out of sorts lately? Just like weird, wonky, out of sorts, spacey, kind of hard to track things. Yeah, okay. All right. I'm gonna go to the emotion of confusion. Who's been feeling confused, doubtful, uncertain, lost, unsure? Okay, thank you. And then we'll go to, there's several other emotions, but for the sake of time, I'm going to go over to afraid. Who's been feeling afraid? Any kind of like fear, concern for self, concern for others, uncertainty. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, thank you. And then we've got sad and judgmental. These are both really good. Let's go with judgmental. That's the stretchy one. Who's been feeling kind of judgy lately? Judgmental, whether it's of self, of others, of in-group, of out-group, like judgmental of the president. No. yeah. Judgmental. Okay. Thank you for your honesty, lady. Got a bit of an echo. So Alicia, I'm going to mute you. I think it's kind of, there we go. Awesome. Thank you for doing that activity. I want to make sure that Kim has some time to share with us, so I'm going to shift gears here. But that's a really powerful, it's a really powerful thing to tune into, and seeing that other people are feeling what we're feeling in an experience that can sometimes feel super alone, or super isolating, or super like, I don't know what to do. What's wrong with me? Like, why am I blah, 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 right? Like, so not to normalize this, but to share that we are all living in these times, and we are all feeling, for the most part, a lot of similar things in a lot of similar ways. And I'll circle back to talking about emotions in a little bit here, if it's of service, because emotion is super connected to motivation and super connected to action. And we really want to like plug in emotion with powerful action and meaningful action as well. So we'll circle back around to that in a few moments. All right, Miss Kim, I'm gonna invite you to, oh, now my Zoom, maybe my Zoom just updated in the middle of our call. Whoa, crazy. Miss Kim, so the other day we were on the Entrepreneurship Masterclass call, or one of our calls for that, and Kim was there, and we were just kind of doing like a group check-in around how we doing. And, you know, Kim opened up and shared with us in a way that was really, I felt super compassionate and insightful. And so before tonight's call, I reached out to her and just, you know, offered up to her the, if she wants to speak to anything or share anything or ask anything. And she also has to hop off at 15 after too. So yeah, Miss Kim, feel free to say hello.
Hi, everybody. As what Fawn said, it was when the other day when we were, it was just a few of us on a call, and I was just sharing some things about my reaction to everything. And one thing that I am realizing is that everybody's experience is not the same. There's definitely solidarity, obviously, with Black people at this point, definitely because of just, you know, it is what it is. But there are many, even within our communities, many different opinions about everything that's going on. So I definitely do not speak for everybody. So I just want to put that out there. So I think most of my experience or my fear, my feelings, every time I raised my hand when she was calling off an emotion was definitely because of my son, who is 19. He works and he is driving. And we've had the conversation probably even before he was driving, wherever he went, you know, be respectful, make sure you're not over the top, make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And now even with driving, it's, you know, we keep the registration and the insurance in the console instead of him reaching over into the glove box. So all those different things, every time there's a situation, I have a conversation with him. And it really sent, I have been very anxious, you know, and he wants to live his life. He wants to go. There's no reason why he shouldn't be able to do this, do that. And it just makes me afraid for him to go. And so I was sharing with them that his job, so I'll take back, me and my daughter and I on Sunday went and we was part of a peaceful protest. And it was really nice. And then my son was at work, and his job ended up closing because there were supposedly riots coming, which they never ended up coming. So, but they closed all the stores and the restaurants around where he works. So eventually his place closed. And my sister-in-law, my niece works there too. So I went to my sister-in-law's house and I just waited, because I didn't want to go all the way home, because I think my fear was if anything happens and he would have to stand outside, would he be counted as a worker or a protester or a looter? And so I did not want to go, and I didn't want to go far in case they blocked the roads, because I was going to get my baby. So it was a done deal. And so we both said, okay, let's go. So we went and they told us, you know, we're not taking any more people. And we're like, no, our kids work here, you know, so we were getting in. And so they, we waited and we waited and we waited and we waited in the back where the workers have to park. And so we were just sitting there waiting for our kids to come out, you know, and we were there as mothers. And then all of a sudden I realized we are in the back of the parking lot and they're afraid that looters are coming. Do we look suspicious? And it was the first time I was there as a mother, you know, and there was nothing else except when we were there. And as the cars kept leaving, I started thinking, well, do I look suspicious now? And it just set off a whole other thing of anger and just, you know, so that's my experience. Trying to figure out how do, you know, I let my 19-year-old young man be a man and protect him at the same time. So I'm very thankful that we're having these conversations. When we did have it, there was somebody's experience who had not had an experience at all. And, you know, and my thing is we're all human and we all are having an experience. And it's nice that we get to come together and actually speak to it today, because there's to me, and I don't know if anybody else agrees, but I haven't seen so many people talking about it kind of openly. I think this is the most I've ever experienced people speaking to their experiences out loud. So I'm very grateful for this space. Sometimes it is draining, because we just keep talking and it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I just want to be away from it because it heightens my anxiety or fears and stuff, but I think it's necessary, and so I didn't want to miss the whole call today. So
thank you, Ms. Kim. Thanks so much for sharing that with us. Yeah, it's so, like, so tender and vulnerable. Thank you. Is it okay?
a question about it really quick. Do you feel less worried now that we're having these conversations, or as scared for your son? Like, in this 1 week, in that moment now, from the time you were waiting for him to come out of work, mm-hmm. is your level same?
Yes.
Oh, it is. Okay. So the
conversations are good because I think it lets me know that there are people out there who aren't feeling the opposite of that. But at the same time, I know that that can come from anywhere at any time, and it might come at a time when none of us are expecting it. So I think my fear never really goes away. I kind of just have to deal with it, really, and, you know, believe that I've prepared him, me and his dad have prepared him, and he knows what to do at the right time, and that person just won't be excessive in force, you know, because I really can't control when he may be pulled over or, you know.
Thank you, Kim. Yeah. The other day, Kim, is it okay if I kind of in my own way say the same thing that our other tribe sister said on the call the other day, because I want to, your response to her was like so powerful. And if you're open to it, I'd love everyone else to hear it. And I
didn't want to speak for her. So yeah. I'm
fine. Yeah. So some of us, well, a lot of us feel, well, I'll speak for myself, feel and have felt clueless and sheltered and unaware but aware of privilege, and so and naive in a lot of ways. So I grew up in northern Idaho, which is close to the Canadian border, in a little town called Sandpoint. And when I was growing up, well, and still is, a very, very, very white part of the country. In fact, it's where the KKK had their headquarters for about 30 years. And it's a gorgeous part of the world. We have this gorgeous lake and these mountains, and you'd never, I mean, it's paradise. Unfortunately, the rural areas outside of my hometown are a destination for some of the very, very extreme right-wing individuals, collectives. So the KKK used to have like marches in the next biggest town, like 45 minutes away from us, full regalia. And because of the, you know, the First Amendment, they were able to do that. So I grew up in an area, it was never in my face overtly. My parents were very, my parents were hippies. I grew up in the woods and we lived out of town. So I wasn't exposed to a lot on a lot of levels. And it wasn't overtly in my town that I saw growing up, thankfully, but the presence was there insofar as our high school had one person of color, one, maybe two at one point during my whole 4-year high school experience. So it was a very culturally sterile place for me to grow up. It was utopic, but it was culturally vapid. And then I have my family in California, from California, who I have, half my family is Black, a lot of my family is Hawaiian. I have a very like multicultural family, but I didn't see them all that often in Idaho. So I grew up not even knowing what I didn't know, honestly. I was completely naive and ignorant that racism was even a thing, like, to be honest. I didn't get it. And then I moved to California at 18 years old and felt like I got run over by a semi-truck of ignorance. So at that point in my life, and this is kind of where our tribe sister the other day, she was sharing a similar story where these growing up in small towns or in places that are sheltered. And of course, this was before the internet for me, but it's outrageous. Like these conversations aren't happening. Nobody is doing anything about it. There's no protests, right? And it's infuriating. It's just, it's like, it just triggers a lot of like, fuck, like anger that we're so sheltered and all of this stuff. And so sometimes there can be a lot of shame, a lot of guilt, a lot of like, you know, like, God, just all of that negative, like self-talk can come in. And so this was being shared the other day on the call, and Kim came in with some wisdom, and I'll kind of let you take it from there, Ms. Kim.
Sorry. Okay. So what I told her is that she can't feel or come down on herself because of her lack of knowledge or experience, because everybody is dropped into the life that they are in. None of us choose that, you know. So she couldn't feel guilty or bad or angry because of her, where she was. That she does have a responsibility or not, or a choice to be exposed to it and to become a part of the solution. But where you are placed in life is not your fault. But what you do with that is you do have a responsibility to, I mean, and a choice really, to decide whether you are going to learn more about it, whether you are going to become part of the solution. But originally your place you have no control over. So it's no use in feeling bad about that or down or depressed about that. But now that you know, and so I told her, you know, she might not know about what it's like to be Black, but she knows what it's like to be a mother. So if she could just relate to that, if you know you don't want that happening to your child, that in itself is a way to relate to it. So if you are a mother and you care about that happening to someone else, then you've been moved to now. You have a choice of whether you're going to respond to it and to become part of the solution. So that's pretty much what I'd say.
Thanks, Ms. Kim. Hearing that compassionate perspective was very helpful for me the other day. Yeah, thank you. Do you, and you have a couple more minutes, Kim, with us? Cool. Does anyone want to share any feedback or anything that came up for you as Kim was sharing before she hops off? Okay.
Just right. Thank you, Kim, for sharing.
No problem.
And I'm sorry that you have to have those conversations with your son or even manage and deal with that.
Thanks.
Yeah. So, Kim, I know there's a lot of I'm totally putting you on the spot right now because I love you and because I know you really well. For those of you who are new, I know Kim really well. I wouldn't typically do this to like a newbie. There's a lot of like messaging happening out there in the world right now of like, well, what do we do? What can we do to help? Like, how do we, you know, white people, what can we do to be a part of the solution? Is there anything that you want to speak to about that? Like, white people, shut up. Or like, hey guys, this is what you should do. Or like, any thoughts for us?
Okay, I'm going to really suck at this part. So I don't know, honestly. I don't know. There's just so many different things that people are doing, and I would say and I'm hoping I don't get emotional, but I think for me, it's people considering the human part, that it is about race very much. So, but the thing that kills me every time is, and it doesn't seem like something we should have to say, but we're human. So if it's happening to a human being, there's no other reason to wonder, but that it's another human being. Like, that's it. If you don't want it to happen to you, I'm sorry, then you don't want it to happen to anybody. And I think, you know, I work in a school, and I always feel like this is not rocket science. Like, none of this is rocket science. It happens in every single section in healthcare, in socioeconomic, everything. It happens every time. So why is this hard for people to understand? Like, it's really not that hard. And so when I have found myself, even me, being judgmental of the rioting and things that are going on, and are there people who are taking advantage of things? Yes, but everybody is acting out of an experience. And I heard this, and I don't know who posted it. It's one of my friends. And they were talking about society and how we, not everybody is handling everything the same. And that when we look at people who are handling it, maybe on the other extreme, not the conservative extreme, but definitely the other way, is that we have to look at our societal norms and why don't we all do that? And it's because we made a pact with society to do a certain thing, and that society gives back to us a certain thing. But if those people are not receiving that part of the agreement that society is working for them, then can we really judge their reaction? And I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm not saying it's okay. What I'm saying is everybody is doing, which is dangerous, is doing what's best for them. And it's a very touchy time. But I just would like people to look at it with human eyes. Human. These are human beings. And I think that's my biggest thing every time. So, and that's just coming from me. Again, I'm not speaking for everybody. I just know for me, that's my thing.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. Love you, Kim. Appreciate you.
Thanks,
Kim. Thank you. Yeah. I know you need to hop off or not. You're welcome to stay with us too. thank you.
I need to hop off, but I might mute myself and get on my phone and be in and out of both.
Sure.
If that's
okay. Yep.
Okay.
Thank you. So I'm going to open up the floor here. I actually want to check in with Miss Alicia and see if there's anything you want to pop in and say, share anything at all. No pressure. Just want to open the forum up to you before the rest of the group here.
Well, let's see. This past weekend, as I mentioned earlier, I am a professional event planner, now a virtual event planner, and I was able to experience a wedding and be part of it. And in the midst of the riots and the closing down of society, I watched a interracial couple get married. And to be there, it was the most beautiful thing. And I wish I had pictures that I could share with everyone. Sorry. But it really shipped a message. So, sorry. That first, in the midst of the planning, that it was all about COVID, how she had to cancel her wedding and everything else. And that was rough enough for her, for the bride and the groom. But to be careful because of her display of love, to try to protect her. at the same time. And that was rough. So afterwards, she never talked about it, nor was it didn't matter to them at all. And it didn't matter to anybody being out there, but it was just the fact that we were scared for her. But I'll tell you this on a positive note, is that it started to rain and we had to have the wedding outside because she, because of the virus, she was able to have more people at her wedding because, you know, of being outside. And when she walked down the aisle, it rained more. But when she got up to see her husband, now husband, the sky broke open. And it completely stopped raining from that point on. So it was a good day.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Wow, what an experience.
And, you know, just knowing, I grew up in a military background, so race did not exist. I didn't even know what race was until I hit high school at all. You hung around everybody, you traveled with everybody. That's what it was. So right now, my nephews, they are interracial, and they are falling in the same situation that I did, is that they don't know what race means. They don't know that, you know, dad actually has to sit down with them and say, you are Black. You are, you know, you're looking around at your cousins and you see other, but you got to be aware. And my nephews still don't get it to this day what that means. But knowing that they're getting ready to go off to college in the fall, I pray for them because they're going to see it and they're probably going to feel it. So yeah.
Thank you for sharing that, Alicia. Wow. Alicia's she's a big deal, ladies. She doesn't just put on events. She's not just an event planner. She is an experience creator and an alchemist of all kinds. And she goes above and beyond to create magic for human beings. And I'm so grateful that you're here right now, Alicia. Thank you so much for your presence and your wisdom and sharing. Yeah. Awesome. And it just occurred to me, Heidi, since you kind of recently launched podcast around these themes, is there anything you'd want to like share with the group?
Sure. It's tough emotionally, I'll tell you. A friend of mine, Lakita, and I, we used to work together for the VA, and we sat right across from each other. We're always talking. And just like Alicia said, you know, I didn't grow up military, but I grew up as a pastor's kid and we moved all over the place. And, you know, my parents never taught me about like different races. It just was. And I've got pictures from when I was like 5 or 6 and I had a couple of Black friends in my picture with me at my party. And it's just like, sure they had a different skin color, but it didn't dawn on me, you know? And then I went into the military and we weren't white or Black or whatever, or yellow. We were green. That's what we were. And so, and Lakita comes from, she was in the military too. So we sat there and we're talking, we were always talking about this, that, and the other. And she's always wanting to do a podcast. And then she ended up moving out to California. And she's like, girl, we need to do a podcast. We need to do a podcast. We're going to do a podcast on. I was like, I don't freaking know. I'm too busy. And then out of the blue, she called me up like probably about a month ago and said, what do you think about doing a podcast where it's about white and black issues? It's talking about the elephant in the room. And I was like, wow, like that's going to be a very heavy thing. And she's like, but it needs to happen because people are just so ignorant. They don't understand and they're scared. And the only way to do it is to set the example. And what better example than both of us sitting down having honest topics? And so like, then we start, you know, creating the podcast and figuring out like, you know, what kind of topics we could talk about, you know? And I said, well, we could do it probably. Like we could even talk about current events, like politics and stuff. And we can talk about it from a white perspective and from a black perspective. And so then we came up with the podcast title, Through a Black and White Lens. And then of course all this stuff happened. Like we recorded our first About Us episode last week, and then all this stuff happens with George Floyd, and we recorded another episode. And it was probably one of the most powerful episodes that I've ever done. And this is like my second go at trying to do a podcast. And just the dialogue of, you know, talking about it from her perspective, like what you had said, Fawn, growing up, you know, with just ignorance and just not realizing it because it didn't happen to me. I have no clue. So realizing from her perspective, you know, how she's treated, I was like, fuck, like that's fucked up. Like that's really fucked up. And then just this past, a couple days ago, Elyria City, which is where I live, the mayor who just got elected as the first black mayor, and he came out and had this great idea of doing this big press release and inviting people of color to come up and talk about their experiences. And one of the first ladies, ironically, was a lady that I know fairly well and who my fiance works with and has worked with for like 7 or 8 years. And just to hear about her experiences, even up to like a couple of days ago, people driving by, calling her the N-word and telling her to go back to Africa. Like, what the fuck? You know, I mean, I have nowhere near experience anything like that, even as a gay person. And the tiny minuscule, and this starts to really chat my ass right about now, the minuscule shit that I put up with being gay is nothing in comparison to what people of color put up with. It's bullshit. And it's like, it fucking, it's sad. So our tagline for our podcast is, there is no race, there's all the human race, by Jane Elliott. And it's like, I just, it's terrible. Nobody should have to live like that. And I think the media spins it so terribly. And it's like, You're gonna show black people walking out of CVS with the 15 other fucking white people walking out the back. I mean, get the fuck out of here. Like what is that? And then you can see, like, especially in the Cleveland riot, you can see like the black people, or not black people, people dressed all in black, lobbing shit. And that's freaking Antifa. And it's like, dude, what are you doing? Like, why are you making this situation worse? What should be happening is dialogue. The shit that happened in Elyria, where the people got up and talked about their experiences, exposing what it's like to live a day in their life or an hour in their life, and having to hear that shit. That's fucking, that's terrible. And I'm just like, I think, you know, living in such a bubble, you know, in the military and even in my own life, and then realizing that my own friends were going through something so terrible, I was like, why? For what purpose? What purpose? And I just, you know, that's terrible. I mean, it's just really terrible. So our whole goal, our whole mission with our podcast is to help open that dialogue and to talk about her experiences and to try to dispel myths and stereotypes and to, you know, show people that, hey, listen, we all want the same things in life. We all want to be happy. We all want to have enough money to live on. We all want our kids and grandkids to have happy and successful lives. Like, these are all common things that we all have. And it's like, to let a few people ruin, you know, that, I think is, or to try to keep us divided is wrong, is so, so fucking wrong. And I feel very disappointed with, I feel very disappointed with the media. And I feel very disappointed with some of the people I see on Facebook. Thankfully, I'm not on there very much. But I'm just like, how can you live with yourselves? How can you live with yourselves and cause people that much pain? Or that, like, that anxiety? Like, I could not imagine. I could not imagine fearing like that ever. And maybe once in my life, I felt a little nervous because I was at a gay pride parade, but yet people of color feel that all the time. Yeah. I could not imagine living like that. And I feel very terrible about it. And like, something seriously needs to change, like, drastically. So now I'll step off my soapbox. So.
Thank you. Thank you for being on your soapbox, Heidi. We fucking need you on your soapbox. It's important. Thank you. And thank you for what you're doing with your friend. Like, 100,000% keep going with that. We'll help you get it out. I'll help you get it out there for sure. It does need to happen. I think that's part of the solution. And your courage and your willingness to do that is, it's awesome. Thank you. Yeah. Kim, yeah.
I have a question. When can you put where we can listen to your podcast at? Can you put it in the chat or in our LFP?
Yeah, we're going to record another episode Saturday. And I think our intention, even though we were wanting to record like 6 episodes first before we got to that point of launching, but... Mm. Things are at such a point, it's kind of like we really need to launch so that we can start getting these discussions out there. And yeah, but I definitely will. Yes, Kim, I will definitely do that.
Thank you. Yeah, post it in LFP for sure. I'll put it on the, I'll email it out also for those who aren't in the LFP group online or on Facebook.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for asking for that, Kim. Whew, okay, so we've got about half an hour remaining here, ladies, and I have a couple of ideas. I'll take a vote here. So I am feeling curious around, well, we can either do like open up the floor, and then we'll do popcorn style, whoever is feeling called to share or ask questions or you know, vent. We can totally create a, like, as though we were all hanging out in the living room together. Or the other thing that I'm totally open to holding space for is a conversation around two themes. The first being around, how did we get here? What is our part? Like, what is my part? What is our, like, how did we get here? And creating awareness and acknowledgement of that. And then shifting into, what do we do? What can we do? And moving into a constructive theme around taking action. And I know half an hour is not gonna, I mean, we're gonna make a lot of progress if we go that direction, but I am in no way, shape, or form like presupposing that we're gonna come up with some, you know, grandiose thing. But I think the conversation begins with around these themes at least, and or with sharing our experience as individuals. So, show of hands for who would prefer to have like an open share support Q&A. Maura and Amy and Heidi. Okay. Okay. Seems kind of half and half. Hands up. Okay. So we've got two options. The first one is open sharing Q&A. The second one is talking about what is our part in this and what can we change and do differently. Okay, number one. Open share. We've got one hand. Two hands. Okay. Number two, talking about how did we get here? What is our part? And what can we do to create some change? We've got one, two, three, four. You guys are funny with your soft hands. You're like, with conviction, ladies, with conviction. Okay.
Never.
Okay, well, maybe we'll do a little bit of both. All right, so one, two, three, four, five, 10 of us, half an hour. Okay. So what I'll do is I'll just mention a few things and then maybe we'll do show of hands for sharing. We'll do a nice little fusion of both. So in this question of like, which I'm seeing everywhere and I'm also feeling, which is what can we do? Like, what do I do now that I realize I'm a total like, not now that I realize it, but now that like something is like landing a lot more deeply and severely and intensely for me. And I'm like, I'm going to change. Like change is happening for me non-negotiably moving forward in realizing that like passivity is a part of the problem, right? Like standing by and being witness or being indifferent or not taking action is just as fucking much a part of the problem as is direct oppression and violence. Like it's those two are like creating this toxic injustice, right? So I've been checking in with myself around what is my part? What has my part been personally? Instead of like, because what I want to do is be like pointing fingers at the government and our president and the looter, you know, fingers are really easy to point right now because a lot of people are crazy. But the most important thing for me to do and the most empowering thing for each of us to do as individuals is ask ourselves, what part am I playing? What part have I played and what part am I playing in this? Especially for those of us who are white, or especially for those of us who have been privileged or sheltered or have been complicit in benefiting from the system that exists that simultaneously oppresses others. And I think this question of like, what can we do? What can we do? Like, there's kind of like this feeling under it of like, let's just solve it. Like, let's make this go away for everybody. Like, this is really inconvenient and this is really sad and it's really fucked up. And like, what can we do to like fix it? Right. And just like with anything else we talk about in life on purpose, we can't get to our destination without being and embodying the change first. And I think that it's going to be a lot more beneficial and powerful if we ask ourselves, how can I pivot my lifestyle in ways that like consistently are weaving in what will create the change on a systemic level, right? On that consistent daily lifestyle level, not like, oh, let me donate a couple times or let me, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like this is a lifestyle change for us. This is a day, like every single day we get to live differently. And that is what is going to create change. So I call all of us forward to check in with ourselves around what is our part? What has our part been? What kind of media do we consume? What kinds of friends do we hang out with? What kinds of policies are we involved with? What kinds of, like, what is our sphere of concern? What is our sphere of give a shit, right? Like, and how encompassing is that of all human rights? How encompassing is that of, you know, if like a minority or person of color, a black person, like if there's oppression going on over there, but it's not happening here, like what is it inside of us that's allowing for us to be okay with that within ourselves? And I mean, there's a bunch of psychology behind this. There's a bunch of like, oh, it's because this, this, and this, right? Like evolutionarily. But what we get to do as conscious women who are like beautiful, fiery souls who are here to change the world and make a positive difference. It's not something that we do. It's something that we embrace and something that we embody and something that we change on a fundamental level. So I'm inviting all of us to take that into consideration in like, what is my part? And like, how do I as a human being get to show up differently every single day, that as a part of my lifestyle, not as a destination or a goal or a fix it, right? So I'm feeling really passionate about around this right now, if you can't tell, because it's, I don't think people are really registering that on a lot of levels. It's like, what actions can I take? But like all of us in LFP know it's about be, do, have, right? Be first and then do, and then we'll have the result we want. Well, if we've all been complacent and we haven't been doing anything, we're going to have what we have right now in our society. So how can we be different? So that kind of ties in both of the, like, what is my part and what is my part in the solution? What's my part? How have I been complicit or indifferent or passive? And how can I change that, right, in meaningful ways? So I will, one more thing I'll add here is this piece around motivation. There's a lot of like white guilt happening, and of course there is a lot of white guilt happening. The thing is that guilt's an interesting creature, and I should do a whole call on guilt, but guilt actually is, it's not a great motivator. First of all, it's not like, it doesn't actually kick us into gear. It doesn't create sustained like change or activity. Guilt is this tricky thing in our psyche that like makes us feel bad enough that we feel like we've done something without actually doing something about it. So it's like, oh, I shouldn't have had so many drinks last night, or like, oh, like I shouldn't have ate that brownie, or I shouldn't have like been a white privileged woman for 37 years. So there's this like guilt happening around it. That's like, oh man, I feel horrible. We feel horrible, right? I'm not downplaying the fact we feel horrible, but the guilt is, that's what allows us to let ourselves kind of off the hook. So like, oh, well, I feel bad. So, okay, feeling bad is enough. No, it's not. And guilt isn't going to motivate us to take action necessarily. It's not enough to help us take action. So I want all of you to tune into, and you don't have to share on the call, or you can, but tune into like, what do you care about enough in this world that is going to actually motivate you to do something and actually motivate you to change your life and your lifestyle? When I think about my little cousins, I have like, like I said, half my family is Black. So I have a lot of people in my life that I would die for. And when I think about my little cousins and what they go through, like that motivates the fuck out of me. And when I tap into that, when I tap in, especially like kiddos, So what can we tap into with our core values? What can we tap into in terms of our sense of like tribal responsibility, right? Like Kim was saying, human beings. Just because it's not happening in our neighborhood, just because we're lucky enough to not have to fucking deal with gunshots down our street every night, we still get to show up and we still get to change. So what can you draw upon within your own wellspring of give a shit, of caring, that will help you to actually do something different this time? And I'm not, again, no shaming happening here, no guilt happening here. It's hopefully painting a picture of like how we can utilize perspective to step into this in a responsible way. So I will get off my soapbox now and open this up to whomever would like to share. So you can speak to what is your part been and what are you going to do differently, or what might be helpful to do differently. We can do around the circle once, or we can do popcorn. Hands up for around the circle. Hands up for popcorn. Popcorn. Okay, cool. Who would like to share? Who would like to share? Heidi. I want to hear from, because I've been in conversation, I want to hear from you, Heidi, yes, but then I want to hear from some of you who have expressed to me that you've been feeling, you know, feeling a lot around these things. But Heidi, go for it.
I was just going to say, like, what I'm going to do personally is when I see something, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say, nah, you better check yourself. And so instead of just, like, walking by and just whatever and ignoring it, I'm going to call it out, because I think that's part of the issue about being complacent. And you know what? And you know what they say, even if you stood there and watched the robbery happening, you're still part of it. You know, even if you drove the getaway car, even if you didn't go in and rob the bank, you still are part of that. And so I feel realizing all that and realizing that even though I didn't say anything about weird comments that were made as I was walking by, you know, that I was being complicit in that. And so going forward, I'm going to shut it down.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Calling it out. Who else has noticed or is reflecting on, like, their part? And Amy, thank you.
Hi. Okay, so yeah, I agree with Heidi, just as far as for me, just speaking up about it is what I'm doing now. That, I mean, I'm 47 years old and I don't think I ever really spoke up about it before. So that's bad, I know. But I'm doing it now, and whether it's with strangers or not strangers, I'm speaking up. And another thing I'm doing, and will make sure that I do from this point on, is just talk about it with my kids, and, you know, really have discussions. Like, it's actually a great thing to talk about, and my kids actually converse with me about it. Whereas, you know, before all this, it was like, you know, a 10-minute dinner with, like, talking about what they're scrolling through on Instagram. So it's just, it made, like, a real impact on them too, I think. So this is, I mean, this was hard for me because my, you know, I come from I grew up in Northeast Philly, but it was a very white neighborhood back then. Mostly Irish and German. And, you know, so there were times where my father has made racial slurs and I never said anything growing up. I by no means think that I followed in his footsteps at all. I've never had those feelings of whatever he had, those, you know, hate or whatever it was. But the fact that I never said anything or never stood up for them, you know, just because it was my father and I just hid, you know, and didn't speak up. So for me, doing the small part of just speaking up about it, and if someone says something that I don't agree with, I let them know. And I actually just did this the other day when, you know, and you're just posting that the, you know, new profile on Facebook or whatever. Someone I know who I guess they're, I don't know if they're Trump supporters. I don't know what they are, but, you know, they kind of talked about it and I was like, what are you talking about? Like, of course I'm going to keep that on my, like, I believe in that. I, you know, Black lives do matter. And I, you know, I know they're not saying that no other life matters. That's not what they're saying. Like, they're saying that Black lives matter because that's who's having the issue right now. That's where the problem is. So yeah, this is just, it's definitely a touchy subject when it comes from where I came from. But it's opened up a lot of great conversations between me and my kids. And I just think spreading the love and just the humanity about it is super important. And, you know, I know donating money, like, that's just a one-time thing, but actually it's not, because I went online and donated, and you can actually donate monthly. Like, you can sign up for, even if it's like only $5 or $10 a month, you can do that for, you know, infinity or whatever. So I think, you know, I did that, and that, you know, I feel like that helps too. Like, I know it's just money, but that does help. So yeah, that's where I'm coming from.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you so much. Yeah. And yes, I did not mean to, I was not trying to insinuate, like, don't donate. Oh my God, no. like invest in our humans, like, for sure, and organizations. So thank you for that. Aishwarya, yeah.
So I agree with everything that's been said. I'm just a little bit conflicted about this myself because it's easy for me to speak out against people in private conversations. But I think I would have a tougher time kind of doing that in something more public because I know I would be scared to do it. I'm not from this country. I'm not American. I'm from Singapore. So it's been one and a half years here in the US. And so my parents are like, listen, just keep your head down. Just, you know, Trump is messing up with a lot of immigrant visas right now. Don't get into trouble. Just keep your head down and just do your work. So, yes, it's important to speak out, but I don't know. I'm having so many conflicting thoughts about this as well. So I don't know. I would love to hear from the group about what they think.
Thank you. I so respect that, and thank you for your honesty around it. My two cents and anyone else's is totally open to providing some feedback, but there are so many ways that you can be on the front lines without being on the front lines. And it could be financial, obviously, like donating, but also like supporting or connecting with anybody who is helping in any capacity, whether it's the nonprofits or organizations, or whether it's, yeah, there's so many ways. I'll add a couple of things to the resources document. Because there are a lot of organizations that are addressing this specific thing. Like, what if you can't go out and protest? Like, you can help, you can babysit people's kids. You can help, you know, in myriad different ways. So I'll post some themes around that.
I think my sort of struggle is, you know, things that would happen at the spur of the moment. Like, I know well enough about myself to know that I would definitely react, and it would be, I have no problems getting into confrontations, so I'm very okay with that. But I also know that that could land me in trouble. And that's actively something that my mom keeps kind of reminding me about, you know, so she's like, just keep your head down, Ash, just whatever you're doing, just keep your head down, just keep going with the flow. So, this is more of it was just the other day I was kind of taking a walk outside, and I saw a cluster of NYPD cops around this, lamppost. They were just chatting, and for some reason I couldn't explain why, as I saw them, I just froze up and I just turned around and walked the other way. And then I was like, hang on a second, why did I need to do that? And then, so I forced myself to walk by them, you know. So stuff like that, you know, I think it's just like you have reactions to things that you don't even know you'd get triggered by. And then you only know that you'll get triggered by them when you actually are in the situation. So for me, it's more of a what will I actually end up doing when I'm in the moment kind of thing, which is what I usually tend to struggle with.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I'm happy to chat with you about this outside the call too, Aish, but one of the things we can do, and I probably use this with some of you ladies, is like simulate in our minds scenarios where shit could go super wacky, right? Or like being vulnerable, like as I travel, and also when I lived in Hollywood, I would just like be aware of my scene. I'd be aware of like how to control my breathing if I felt super triggered. Like just things you can do, but like rehearse beforehand so that in the moment your default is to drop into your like training. Heidi probably knows a lot about this from the military, but that's a good question. Does anyone have any thoughts around that for Aishwarya? Kim? Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to tell you that I think that is a total normal feeling, because even when I was at the protest with my daughter, there were some agitators there, and I immediately turned to her and said, are you okay? And she looked at me like, yeah, you know. But then I realized I'm not, like, it scared me. And I've been to nonviolent rallies, but I've never participated in a protest. I've never. And as soon as that other group started, like they had blown horns, they had people walking through the thing, and it was aggravating. And if I was younger, I think I know I would have said, what, you know, like, why would you turn against, like, this is for all of us. Like, why would you of all people be trying to start something instead of participating with the community? But the older me that's a mother thought, shut up, because the daughter is here. And just like you said, that one thing, and they were trying to get people to be emotional. And I don't think they cared on what side they were emotional on. So, I mean, you do have to be very conscious of that, but I wanted you to know that you're not alone. And it is a very, things could change in a minute. And I think you just have to, like Fawn said, if you know that you are that person to, you know, say something or stand up immediately, you kind of have to play that through so that when you're caught up in that moment, you can do whatever is necessary, you know, to keep yourself safe and, but at the same time, provide whatever it is you're supposed to do there. So.
Thank you. Thanks, Kim.
Thanks, Kim. Got a few more minutes, ladies, who else would like to share, or we can do a takeaway round, but I'm gonna open up the floor here. Any noticings around like the parts we play or how we want to change? Contribute to the Kim, yeah.
Sorry, I do want, because I don't know, you were putting all of these resources in and I felt horrible as a Black person not knowing every single resource you listed. And so I show myself self-compassion and say, well, I can all research those too. So, but I do want to do more. I feel like sometimes because I'm a teacher, I feel like I give back that way, but you know, I want to do more. I want to do more activist. I just want to do more. So I think for me, I'm going to take some time to look over the resources and decide, you know, what I can actually do. Cause I felt really energized at that protest, and I felt like, wow, you know, like I wanted to do something else.
Beautiful. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, that's kind of part of I'm holding space this month in the mornings for like reading and writing. Well, all the time for reading and writing, but this month I really want to like hopefully deprogram my ignorance as much as I can with like literature and just the consuming powerful, relevant historical information that is very, very important. So I appreciate what you're saying with that, Kim. It's like knowing more about the things we can do helps us to do what we do. if anyone feels, yeah, Ashley.
I think I agree. Yes, I want to do all of that, and starting to do some of that in terms of educating myself. But I think, and I'm totally fine having, I'm totally fine having conversations with people in my life, especially out here in California or some of my friends around the country. I think where I struggle and it's conflicting is having those conversations with my family. They're in Texas and they're a lot more conservative than I am. And probably a reason why I don't live there anymore. I have those conversations with them, but they very quickly turn into non-productive conversations. And so sometimes I'm like, is it even worth trying to talk to them about any of it? Because they just don't seem to, it's not that they don't care, they just don't understand it. Or they see it a different way. I don't know. I don't actually really know, because our conversations get heated and get cut short very quickly when it comes to stuff like this. And so it's just, that's a conflict that I have. I'm like, is it even worth having these types of conversations? Part of I'm like, yes, it is, because this is, shit needs to change, and this is how it changes, is having these conversations. But sometimes I feel like they're so far, like, meh, that it's, I'm just speaking and they're not really listening or hearing me anyway. So yeah. So I don't know what to do about that. I will continue to, I don't know, figure out a different angle to come at it for them. I don't know. They see me as a crazy liberal in California right now. So, or have for the last, I don't know, 15 years that I've haven't lived in Texas. So, I don't know.
Damn. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. I'm thinking right now, like, maybe one of our group calls in the upcoming couple of weeks could be, I think the last time we did a nonviolent communication call was like August of 2018 or something like that, or July. NVC is badass for this kind of stuff, because it's like social judo in a way, where it's like magic can happen, but it's not, I mean, it's not like a magical solution, but it's a very powerful tool. So, but Ashley, thanks for sharing that. And thank you for having the conversations as best you can at this point.
Okay.
Yeah. So ladies, we are at time, and we usually do a takeaway round to share our insights or our anything that stood out to us or resonated with us from the call. So anybody who needs to hop off, absolutely feel free to do so. Thank you so much for being here. Love you. And anybody who wants to stay and do a takeaway or share a takeaway, I am here to hold space for that. Raise your hand if you're down to stay on. Oh, awesome. Cool. All right. Yay. Thanks. All right. Let's do takeaway round. I'll start with Miss Mora.
Wow. There's so much. I mean, you could, it's such, I sort of hate everywhere we are right now, right? I hate what's happening socially, injustice-wise, how it's sort of boiling to a point. We're all stuck in our homes, you know, to have this conversation sort of piece by piece rather than like on a couch is hard. Not that that's not how these calls haven't always been pre-COVID anyway. But it feels sort of restrictive. But that being said, yeah, we could all talk. I mean, I think the reason I said at the beginning my stretch factor is zero is because I know I'm with like-minded women, right? Like-minded people. And when Kim said, you know, it's just about human beings, of course it is. But we let fucking people live in squalor on the streets of Los Angeles or Brazil or Colombia or in cages in fucking Mexico. You know what I mean? Like, you could say it's, can't we just come at it from a human place? Of course, like, but we don't. For not, and I don't mean we, the people on this call, mean the fucking railway. And it's so hard, right? And it's so hard and so easy to be like, fuck it, it's just always going to be that way. Fuck it, it's easier. And all the white guilt and the white privilege and like, at least I'm lucky, at least I'm not whatever XYZ. So my takeaway, as I sort of have been thinking that for the last 90 minutes, not just that, I was listening to everybody too. I wasn't just thinking that.
I'm gonna start quizzing you, Missy.
My takeaway was I think the reason this group can have these conversations and feel comfortable about it and know that we're all coming to it from a place of humanity, of like-mindedness, of justice for all, is because we're doing the work. And the work starts with us, right? And we're just starting by recognizing core values. Makes a huge amount of difference in everything that we touch in our lives and deciding if it's worth it to have the conversation with crazy drunk Uncle Tom or, you know, like my dad who said to me when I brought home a boyfriend after a black boyfriend who said to that boyfriend when he shook his hand, well, at least he's white. That's what he said to him. So I get Amy's gone. I was 18. That's literally how my dad shook the man's hand, guy's hand in college. At least he's white. So you know, so I get it, like that shit that simmers inside. But the thing that I wanted to say, my takeaway is, it's hard not to judge myself for my own privilege and my own whiteness. But I have to remember, if I'm going to work on not judging myself and doing better, I have to remember to not judge other people too. And that includes the fucking racist conservative bigots. Like, I have to try to really pull that judgment back. And it's so, it's hard on a normal day. It's like fucking through the roof right now to not be like, you fucking assholes. But they're all coming from a place of humanity too. Broken and wounded, but we all are. So anyway, that was my rant. That's a nothing. That was not a takeaway. That was just a, so thanks for listening.
Thank you. Thank you for speaking what's alive for you. Thank you, Maura. Yeah. Elizabeth, this is your first LFP group experience. How you doing?
Yes, I'm good. I'm just taking it in. I appreciate you having me. I've never put this into a cohesive thought process so far, but what I've been trying to do is listen to educators who've made it their life's work to teach about this, and then shut up while you're in their, like, while I'm in their spaces, and then go out to, like, the places that need it and say things to them, you know, like, because it's, like, I don't want to put the emotional burden on people that I know, or I never thought about it like the emotional labor involved before in what it must be like to experience something that I can't experience, just the emotional labor every single day. So it's become important to me to, like, offload as much of that as I can from anybody in my network, and, like, not, and then tell them that, try awkwardly to tell them that we're not going to have awkward conversations about this unless they want to, but I care. And then go to the rest of the world and try to not let this stuff happen, you know, not just sit by while, you know, things are happening. But that seems so pathetic. Like, it seems so worthless. And so, you know, just, but, you know, taking the time to read, you know, study up, like, you know, Me and White Supremacy, I started reading that, following educators who, like, they're professional at this, you know, rather than being like, oh, person in my life, let me just go ask you about all these things, and then just, you know, like that, you know. And I can't say that I've hoped that I haven't done that to them before, but I have reached out to my network and said, like, last night as an example, like, I do a podcast every week with Robert Dunn, who, it's his podcast, and he's Black. And I reached out to him at 4, and I was like, I don't, like, it might not be your idea of a fun time to talk to a white woman about gender politics right now. So if it isn't, like, we can pick it up later or have the conversation however you want, but I just wanted to say something. But I didn't know whether I should say that or not say that, or or just act like nothing's happening, which seems really ridiculous. But, you know, but all of that discomfort, all of that is not, I'm not saying it because I want to sound like I'm complaining about it. I just want to sound, make it like, more like, well, you know, as I'm thinking about what more there is to do, like, that level of discomfort is nothing in comparison. So, you know, that's where I'm at. But that was a jumble of stuff.
Thank you.
So yeah. Thank you for letting me be here. And thanks, everybody, for your shares.
Thanks for being here. Yeah. And I really appreciate what you're saying about, like, paying attention to the voices that have had devoted their entire lives to these causes and following them. Yeah. Take away Aishwarya, your first call too. Yay.
Hi. Well, I guess my takeaway from this is, I'm from Singapore, like I mentioned before, and there's not a whole lot of conversation around race or anything like that in Singapore, but everybody knows that it does exist. It's a global problem, so it exists. It's just that the level of conversation around it is very, very different. So I actually don't really know how to recognize acts of racism, to be very honest with you, partly because I know it. I have experienced it now that I have some awareness of this. I know I've experienced it. But I think a large part of me not knowing to recognize it comes also from the fact that my family never talked about it or never acknowledged it in any way, shape, or form. My dad would always put down his defeats to him not working hard enough. He just would never acknowledge that he was passed over for opportunities because of something as arbitrary as your skin color. He would never acknowledge that. So it just was inconceivable to him. So for him, it was more like, Ash, I don't think you're working hard enough on this. That's, you know, don't give me this whole race stuff. That's not it. You know that, right? So I'm like, oh, okay, fine. So I think for me, it's more recognizing when something like that does happen. And I think I'm becoming better at it. So these conversations do help. And yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight. I'm so grateful. Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to Kim, take away.
I think that I'm just grateful for the space and I think I know that I'm appreciative that everybody was willing to share something out of their experience. And I guess, again, just every time we have a call, I think I'm just amazed at how, and I think what Mara said in her takeaway for me was like, because we're doing the work in ourselves. And so we're able to open up about things that, yeah, because I don't know if I've had a complete conversation with anyone without just like, okay, I just need to let it go. And walking away. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. And, but here, like, I'm able to express it, actually release it and listen to some other people share. And, you know, even what Elizabeth said, I was sitting here thinking that, you know, it is awkward. And I think even, what Ashley was saying about her family is that there are many different conversations that we can have that are difficult. You know, it could be about politics. It could be religion. It could be about being gay. You know, it could be about so many different things. And the fact that we can come here and have that conversation is great. And it really wasn't even about race here. It was just, we were all humans sharing our experience. And I appreciate that because it has been the most finished conversation I have had in about 2 weeks. So I thank you, thank you, thank you, all of you.
Thank you, Ms. Kim. Yeah. I mean, I can't even imagine how exhausted you are. Like, I mean, just, yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. And how about for you, Ashley?
Yeah, two things. The first is, you know, something that when Moore came up, when Moore was talking, her takeaway. One, I just maybe should not be so judgmental of some others who don't, like my family, who don't maybe feel the same way I do about some things, but and yeah, try to understand it more, even though I feel like I've done a lot of understanding. It's a good thing to keep in mind though. And then the second is I'm just so inspired by this community and grateful for this community. because I know there are other like-minded people like us having these same conversations right now. Mm. And so that is inspiring. I don't know. I just know it feels a little different this time. It feels bigger. And I'm just inspired that we're having this conversation right now and that we can have this conversation. So obviously grateful for this community, but I know there are other people like us who are also having these same conversations. And so that's just inspiring. Mm.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Whew. And let's see, my takeaway. Whew. How grateful I am for each and every one of you and anyone listening in on the call too, but each and every one of you for having your heart in the right place to start with, having your conscience awake and aware and coming together here to be in it together. So yeah, community, obviously you guys know I love you so much, but right now, it takes a fuck ton of courage and humility and like all kinds of stretch to talk about it and come together. So thank you all. Please can anything you see online that's actually helpful, feel free to add it to that resources document that I posted in the group. You know, I want it to be a living creature. I have given it to my other communities too, so hopefully people will keep adding to it. Also, our tribe sister Femi, she's not really active in the tribe, but I consider her to be part of the tribe because she's been a client for 3 years. This is her platform. Like, this is what she has been talking about for years. This is what her brand is all about, is systemic racism. So she has an amazing, I put her in that resource. She has a podcast. Her blog is phenomenal. She's a phenomenal writer and she has some legit messages to share. So check out Femi's work, support her. And each other. And I do invite all of us to really, really, really check in with how we can actually be a part of the solution in any way. All right. Be safe, everyone. Be safe. Be well. Love to you all. See you soon. Good night.